Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
I'm so old.
So old.
We're so old.
You're old.
You're old.
Time for Senior Moments on a Monday for Training Camp. Brian Sexton along with senior writer John Osier, senior producer Joe Fortunato's along, and we could invite, you know, senior Brandon Albert.
Well, let's hope that Senior Moments is correct, because I would like to forget the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah.
From
Saturday night.
Been a tough 3 days.
Yeah, from Saturday night on, it's not going all that well, to be honest with you. Now, if you had told me on Sunday morning that Brandon Albert was going to come in here and retire, I probably would have been surprised.
I wouldn't either.
I wasn't surprised when I heard it today.
Yeah.
He did not look like he was capable of playing left tackle for this team.
Yeah.
For this team that doesn't have a left tackle yet.
I can't say I predicted it, but I got a couple of his own questions over the weekend about Albert, and there was kind of a thought in my mind of, boy, this is a veteran who, I get the rust part. Again, can't say I predicted it, but when you look at everything that was going on, I didn't think he looked good on Saturday night, looked slow against Dante Fowler, which people can do. But once you started adding it up with the offseason, hindsight's 20/20, but it's not hard to see in hindsight.
All right, so let's deal with something that I heard from some media guys out there, and that was, well, this looks bad for Tom. This is a bad move. And here's – well, what do you think about that? And I'll tell you what I think.
Well, you know, you never know who pulled the trigger on what and who pounded the fist.
Sure.
But the theory goes if, you know, you let Kelvin Beachum out the door for Brandon Albert, that's how it's going to be perceived. It didn't really time-wise play out exactly like that.
Right.
But that's how it looks. And so you've given up a guy that – I don't know how good Beachum was or wasn't. I'm kind of with you. I don't think he was great last year.
Well, he wasn't practicing a lot in the spring in New York, so the knee is still an issue.
That's the big thing is – and he was limping off the field late last year.
A lot last year.
So – that's sort of the thing that you have to throw into the equation that you can't take out of the meal, so to speak. So it's going to get painted of they let a starting left tackle go, and now they don't have one, except you do have one. You have Cam Robinson.
Right, you drafted.
But now you only addressed one offensive line spot in the offseason is how it's going to be played. Okay. That's not the reality, but it's how it's going to be played.
Well, here's what I throw back on that, because I disagreed with it. The biggest thing that I have with this is they had to swing. John,
right.
I mean, you remember. There weren't free agents. The guys who were targeted didn't get to free agency. Or,
true,
in the case of the guard from Cincinnati, he got a deal so rich right out of the gate from Cleveland, you never had a shot at him. And then they weren't in the draft. Cam Robinson was one of the few tackles
right.
available in the draft, and you went and got him. You had to swing. He was here for a couple of days in February, sold him a bill of goods, apparently, right? Or at that time, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. He wanted to be here. He wanted to keep playing. He wanted to make $9 million.
My guess is it's more the latter.
Okay.
My guess
right.
is he wanted to be here.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, once
those
pads were on.
In June, he still wanted the money. But Saturday night,
reality's facing you. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
how are you going to know that? How are you going to know when a guy says, I'll be there, I want to play? And the holdout wasn't the issue.
Yeah.
He was able to do that. Right? He came when he had to be here. So it doesn't look good because a player has retired and the roster all of a sudden is a veteran, former Pro Bowl player, lighter. But I'm not pointing my finger and saying, well, that was a bad idea. Because
no.
You had to do something.
Right. You had to do something, and now the whole thing will swing, meaning the perception will swing. And the reality of good or bad it was, on Cam and then whatever, the story will be, should they have gone guard in the third round? Because there were those guards that were available.
Right.
But that's how this plays out.
No, I know.
That's how the conversations play out. At the time, I believed that, and up until this morning, I believed that Cam Robinson was going to be your short-term guard, and that Albert was going to play left tackle, and therefore you did address the interior of the offensive line in the draft.
Right.
Now, by circumstances they probably couldn't foresee, because I still believe Cam Robinson was going to be a guard. Before this, I believe that's how it was going to play out. As long as Albert played left tackle. But now you haven't looked, you on paper haven't done anything on the interior of the line. Omame and Can, need to be better.
Shatley, Jeff Reed, I mean, that group of guys who are all right.
Yeah, my guess is it's going to be Amame and Cann. I just feel like that's how it's going to play out. Okay. But I thought Albert was going to be the left tackle, too.
Well,
so what do I know?
I thought Albert was going to be the left tackle until Saturday night. And when I watched him on Saturday night, I said, uh-oh, you know, that isn't good. And so, you know, it's funny.
Sounds like you said uh-oh a lot on Saturday night.
I did on Saturday night. And that's my next point, is that the guy who right now, at least from a media public relations perspective, who is benefiting from the news that Brandon Albert is retiring, is Blake Bortles.
Sure.
Because we didn't start this podcast, and most radio and media outlets today are talking about Brandon Albert relative to the Jaguars and not Blake Bortles. So let me get...
And I joked a second ago about uh-oh.
Well, that's what I tweeted
Let's
on
Let's not
night.
Forget that all these things we're talking about, especially with particular practices, are one practice.
Right. All right. Well, let me tell you why I said uh-oh on Saturday night. Because I thought, what am I going to tweet here? What would be kind of funny and yet at the same time kind of serious, right? Because everyone was given the serious, oh my God, this guy is falling. So I wanted to say something that was poignant yet wasn't going to, you know, be so serious. Because
That's a lot to cover in one tweet.
Yeah, I know.
Poignancy.
I don't think I've ever done that before. Right. But so because I knew the media storm that was coming, right?
Right.
Uh-oh, because that was the first padded practice. It was under the lights with the biggest crowd of training camp. Other than this practice in the stadium on Friday night, that's the biggest practice every year of training camp. So the story has been Blake. The story is Blake went to San Diego. The story is Blake looks okay in OTAs. And so it was on him on Saturday night to come out and show people what he's done. And it was, uh-oh, it doesn't look like much. Now, he rebounded today. I thought he rebounded okay today.
He's fine today. Yeah. And here's the thing. He hasn't been, I get that he throws key picks. And the timing of the interceptions throughout his career has what's really been the gut punch on him. But he hasn't been a five-pick-a-game guy. It hasn't been a five-pick-a-practice guy. I've got to think the five interceptions, even the three, is an outlier. And you look back, clearly he can get through games without throwing picks. He did at the end of last year. So it's not like all of a sudden he can't function at all. But you wanted better. And it just, you know, you laugh. It couldn't have been a worse look, a worse time for the guy. You know, if this had been a guy who had made a couple of Pro Bowls and you have five interceptions, you come off and you laugh it off. You know, it's Aaron Rodgers. Who cares? But it's not Aaron Rodgers. It's Blake, who's under the microscope, and that's his first padded practice. That's the story.
It was funny. I was walking out of here about 10:15 on Saturday night, and he was walking in front of me, and I was just reading his body language, which, as you would imagine, wasn't real good. And there were some fans waiting outside for autographs, and I thought, ooh. Give him credit, right? Held his head up, went over, signed the autographs, tried to get through it.
Oh,
and
he's everything on that front.
Right.
Always has been.
I know.
Right.
But deserves a little credit for that.
Yep.
So here's the story. I'm watching him this morning, and they're throwing routes, and I'm standing next to Mark Brunell, and Mark says he looks a little cautious. You know, which you'd expect. You're coming on the practice field after that performance. You don't want to make too many mistakes. What was interesting was he was more aggressive late. His confidence built back up. Right. So in the span of one practice, he went from okay to, all right, I got this, right? He built it back up in one practice. We'll see. Nice. You got to stack them together. You got to have a couple good practices in a row this week leading into next week against the Patriots.
I'll tell you, the only thing that might save him, Brian, and you know, I don't say save, I don't want to jump off the cliff here. His receivers are good. They're better than I thought they were coming into the season. I watched Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns, and Allen Robinson in practice. And if you listen to me in the offseason, I kept sort of trying to pump the brakes of, let's not call these guys frontline guys yet. They've all only done it really once. A-Rob went and worked. These guys went and worked in the offseason. I think I said it Friday. For the first time, they look like veteran guys to me. Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns, and Allen Robinson, they all have always been talented, but they look like they're running good routes. They look like they're guys who are in position where if when the quarterback goes back and you know that Marquise Lee is running a route over here, again, I don't know what the assignments are, but it looks like he's running a route where you know where he's going to be. That's big for a quarterback. Maybe Blake can learn to trust that and find something to hold on to and start this process of getting where he needs to be, because the receivers look awfully good, and maybe that's something he could hold on to.
I'll tell you, another guy who's looked pretty good, which is another area that Blake can hold on to, is Leonard Fournette. Watching him today, look, Chris Ivory's a big bruising back, right? There's a difference between Chris Ivory and Leonard Fournette. When Leonard Fournette has the ball in his hand and is coming through the line, there is an explosive quality to him that, you know, we've seen on LSU's tape, right? But to see it in person, wow.
Right.
He is special.
I'm the number one skeptic on difference make run back, running back, because I usually believe it's the it's the offensive line that gets that. There are exceptions. So far in camp, he's looked like he might be an exception. If he's an exception, then you got a shot.
He is a guy who is going to, just by the force of his powerful running style, wear a defense down. Now, you give him a break and you bring in Chris Ivory. Holy cow.
Right.
And or you change it up and you throw in TJ Yeldon, mm-hmm. who has not the speed, not the breathtaking playmaking speed, but has that change of direction
he's got
ability.
He's got vision.
I mean, you can wear someone down. Now,
they've got to get
to it. That's it. It's going to be staying ahead of the chains, the down and distance markers.
Right.
The quarterback, no matter what we say about the defense or the running game, he's going to have to be effective.
Well, at some point, and I've gotten emails over the offseason of, well, how will they ever know about Blake if they're running as much as they want to? And that's a little bit of looking at things in a vacuum. In the NFL, through 16 games, you're not going to be able to always run when you want to run, which for Doug Marrone is always. At some point, the quarterback will be in a situation to make plays where he has to make plays. It still comes down to those moments for him when he has to do that. So you're never going to have a season where you don't have to have your quarterback making plays. So he'll get a shot.
Two of the guys we keep talking about, A.J. Boye. I mean, the Texans.
Continues to look the part, which is not always the case for a UFA.
I know they've got a great pass rush in Houston, and I know that they have some corners they've invested some money in, but they've got to be scratching their head a little bit going, man, how are we going to do this without him?
Yep.
He's good.
And that's where it's not always the case that available free agents hurt their teams when they leave or help their teams when they arrive. Because so often you look at a guy and say, well, we didn't get him back because he wasn't one of our core guys. And if we really wanted a guy back, we would have re-signed him. He looks like the exception where we had so much tied up in other guys, we couldn't afford to re-sign him. But boy, we'd like to have him. He looks like a case where a free agent indeed might hurt the last team, help the new team.
You don't even have to comment on this because we've been talking about him for the last couple of weeks. But Fowler keeps showing up in practice. At least he's being consistent.
Everybody knows the storyline.
Which is what everybody's talking about. Doug Marrone is asking him to be consistent. He's been now for, 4 days?
So far, he has done just what he did last year. I mean, he's looked great against his own guys. But that's all you can ask of a guy. Key will be against other competition. But I have more confidence and more hope for him than I did a week ago.
All right. Final thought. What are Doug and Tom thinking right now along their – I mean, are they at this point where they're thinking we've got to go get someone, or are they thinking we're going to have to rely on the Omame, Jeff Reed, A.J. Can, Tyler Shatley group?
I think they know deep down they're probably going to rely on that group. They may go get somebody and hope, but realistically, if you're going out and getting it on August 1st – you're hoping, and sometimes hope is a good thing, Red, as they said in Shawshank, but usually in the NFL, nice. Hoping in August is we need to go with the guys we've got. And they may bring somebody in, but is it going to be an impact? You know, if it was going to be impact, they probably already would have done it.
All right. Well, more to come this week. Jaguars in pads Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night here in the stadium. We'll have another Senior Moments for you later in the week. See ya.
Training camp got real today on and off the field.
All right. Lots of storylines, folks. Stay tuned to Jaguars.com for all the analysis and news you need. And for Joe Fortunato and John Osher, we say, see you.